Chapter 52, The Apostates, Segment 1. Ah, lies everything already, withered and gray, which but lately stood green and many-hued on this meadow. And how much honey of hope did I carry hence into my beehives? Those young hearts have already all become old, and not old even, only weary, ordinary, comfortable. They declare it. We have again become pious. Of late did I see them run forth at early morn with valorous steps, but the feet of their knowledge became weary, and now do they malign even their morning valor. Verily, many of them once lifted their legs like the dancer. To them winked the laughter of my wisdom. Then did they bethink themselves. Just now have I seen them bent down to creep to the cross. A round light in liberty did they once flutter like gnats and young poets, a little older, a little colder. And already are they mystifiers and mumblers and mollycoddles. Did perhaps their hearts despond because lonesomeness had swallowed me like a whale? Did their ear perhaps hearken yearningly, long for me in vain, and for my trumpet notes and herald calls? Ah! Ever are there but few of those whose hearts have persistent courage and exuberance, and in such remains also the spirit patient. The rest, however, are cowardly. The rest, these are always the great majority, the commonplace, the superfluous, the far too many, those all are cowardly. Him who is of my type will also the experiences of my type meet on the way, so that his first companions must be corpses and buffoons. His second companions, however, they will call themselves his believers, will be a living host with much love, much folly, much unbearded veneration. To those believers shall he who is of my type among men not bind his heart. In those springtimes and many-hued meadows shall he not believe who knows the fickly, fainted-hearted human species. Could they do otherwise, then would they also will otherwise. The half and half spoil every whole. That leaves become withered, what is there to lament about that? Let them go and fall away, O Zarathustra, and do not lament. Better even to blow among them with rustling winds. Blow among those leaves, O Zarathustra, that everything withered may run away from you the faster. Segment 2. We have again become pious, so do those apostates confess. And some of them are still too pusillanimous thus to confess. To them I look into the eye. Before them I say it to their face and to the blush on their cheeks. You are those who again pray. It is, however, a shame to pray. Not for all, but for you and me and whoever has his conscience in his head. For you it is a shame to pray. You know it well, the faint-hearted devil in you, which would fain fold its arms and place its hands in its bosom and take it easier. This faint-hearted devil persuades you that there is a God. Thereby, however, do you belong to the light-dreading type, to whom light never permits repose. Now must you daily thrust your head deeper into obscurity and vapor. And verily, you choose the hour well. For just now do the nocturnal birds again fly abroad. The hour has come for all light-dreading people, the vesper hour and leisure hour, when they do not take leisure. I hear it and smell it. It has come, their hour for hunt and procession. Not indeed for a wild hunt, but for a tame, lame, snuffling, soft-treaders, soft-prayers hunt, for a hunt after susceptible simpletons. All mouse-traps for the heart have again been set, and whenever I lift a curtain, a night-moth rushes out of it. Did it perhaps squat there along with another night-moth? For everywhere do I smell small concealed communities, and wherever there are closets, there are new devotees therein, and the atmosphere of devotees. They sit for long evenings beside one another and say, "Let us again become like little children and say, 'Good God!' Ruined in mouse and stomach by the pious confectioners, or they look for a long evening at a crafty, lurking cross spider that preaches prudence to the spiders themselves and teaches that under crosses it is good for cobweb spinning. Or they sit all day at swamps with angle rods and on that account think themselves profound. But whoever fishes where there are no fish, I do not even call him superficial. Or they learn in godly gay style to play the harp with a hymn poet, who would fain harp himself into the heart of young girls, for he is tired of old girls and their praises. Or they learn to shudder with a learned semi-cap, who waits in darkened rooms for spirits to come to him, and the spirit runs away entirely. Or they listen to an old roving howl and growl piper, who has learned from the sad winds the sadness of sound. Now pipes he as the wind, and preaches sadness in sad strains. And some of them have even become night watchmen. They know now how to blow horns, and go about at night, and awaken old things which have long fallen asleep. 5 words about old things did I hear yesternight at the garden wall. They came from such old, sorrowful, arid night watchmen. For a father, he cares not sufficiently for his children. Human fathers do this better. He is too old. He now cares no more for his children, answered the other night watchman. Has he then children? No one can prove it unless he himself prove it. I have long wished that he would for once prove it thoroughly. Prove as if he had ever proved anything. Proving is difficult to him. He lays great stress on one's believing him. Aye, belief saves him, belief in him. That is the way with old people, so it is the way with us also. Thus spoke to each other the 2 old night watchmen and light scares, and tooted thereupon sorrowfully on their horns. So did it happen yesternight at the garden wall. To me, however, did the heart writhe with laughter, and was like to break. It knew not where to go, and sunk into the midriff. Verily, it will be my death yet to choke with laughter when I see asses drunken, and hear night watchmen thus doubt about God. Has the time not long passed for all such doubts? Who may nowadays awaken such old slumbering, night-shunning things? With the old deities has it long since come to an end, and verily, a good, joyful deity end had they. They did not begloom themselves to death. That do people fabricate. On the contrary, they laughed themselves to death once on a time. That took place when the ungodliest utterance came from a God himself. The utterance, "There is but one God. You shall have no other gods before me." An old, grim beard of a God, a jealous one, forgot himself in such wise. And all the gods then laughed and shook upon their thrones and exclaimed, "It is not just divinity that there are gods, but no God. He that has an ear, let him hear." Thus talked Zarathustra in the city he loved, which is surnamed the Pied Cow. For from here he had but 2 days to travel to reach once more his cave and his animals. His soul, however, rejoiced unceasingly on account of the nearness of his return home. Chapter 53. The Return Home. O lonesomeness! My home, lonesomeness! Too long have I lived wildly in wild remoteness to return to you without tears. Now threaten me with the finger as mothers threaten. Now smile upon me as mothers smile. Now say just, who was it that like a whirlwind once rushed away from me? Who, when departing, called out, "Too long have I sat with lonesomeness. There have I unlearned silence. That have you learned now, surely." O Zarathustra, everything do I know, and that you were more forsaken among the many, you unique one, than you ever were with me. One thing is forsakenness, another matter is lonesomeness. That you have now learned. And that among men you will ever be wild and strange. Wild and strange, even when they love you. For above all, they want to be treated indulgently. Here, however, are you at home and house with yourself. Here can you utter everything and unbosom all motives. Nothing is here ashamed of concealed, congealed feelings. Here do all things come caressingly to your talk and flatter you, for they want to ride upon your back. On every simile do you hear ride to every truth. Uprightly and openly may you hear talk to all things, and verily it sounds as praise in their ears for one to talk to all things directly. Another matter, however, is forsakenness. For do you remember, O Zarathustra, when your bird screamed overhead, when you stood in the forest irresolute, ignorant where to go, beside a corpse? When you spoke, "Let mine animals lead me. More dangerous have I found it among men than among animals." That was forsakenness. And do you remember, O Zarathustra, when you sat in your aisle, a well of wine giving and granting among empty buckets, bestowing and distributing among the thirsty, until at last you alone sat thirsty among the drunken ones and wailed nightly, "Is taking not more blessed than giving, and stealing yet more blessed than taking?" That was forsakenness. And do you remember, O Zarathustra, when your stillest hour came and drove you forth from yourself, when with the wicked whispering it said, "Speak and succumb," when it disgusted you with all your waiting and silence, and discouraged your humble courage? That was forsakenness. O lonesomeness, my home lonesomeness, how blessedly and tenderly speaks your voice to me! We do not question each other. We do not complain to each other. We go together openly through open doors. For all is open with you and clear, and even the hours run here on lighter feet. For in the dark, time weighed heavier upon one than in the light. Here fly open to me all being's words and word cabinets. Here all being wants to become words. Here all becoming wants to learn of me how to talk. Down there, however, all talking is in vain. There, forgetting and passing by are the best wisdom. That I have learned now. He who would understand everything in man must handle everything, but for that I have two clean hands. I do not like even to inhale their breath. Alas, that I have lived so long among their noise and bad breaths. O blessed stillness around me! O pure odors around me! How from a deep breast this stillness fetches pure breath! How it hearkens, this blessed stillness! But down there, there speaks everything. There is everything misheard. If one announces one's wisdom with bells, the shopmen in the marketplace will outjingle it with pennies. Everything among them talk. No one knows any longer how to understand. Everything falls into the water. Nothing falls any longer into deep wells. Everything among them talk. Nothing succeeds any longer and accomplishes itself. Everything cackles. But who will sit still quietly on the nest and hatch eggs? Everything among them talk. Everything is out talk. And that which yesterday was still too hard for time itself and its tooth hangs today, out-champed and out-chewed, from the mouths of the men of today. Everything among them talk. Everything is betrayed. And what was once called the secret and secrecy of profound souls belongs today to the street trumpeters and other butterflies. O human hubbub, you wonderful thing, you noise in dark streets, now are you again behind me. My greatest danger lies behind me. In indulging and pitying lay ever my greatest danger, and all human hubbub wishes to be indulged and tolerated. With suppressed truths, with fool's hand and befooled heart, and rich in petty lies of pity, thus have I ever lived among men. Disguised did I sit among them, ready to misjudge myself that I might endure them, and willingly saying to myself, "You fool, you do not know men." One unlearns men when one lives among them. There is too much foreground in all men. What can far-seeing, far-longing eyes do there? And fool that I was when they misjudged me, I indulged them on that account more than myself, being habitually hard on myself, and often even taking revenge on myself for the indulgence. Stung all over by poisonous flies, and hollowed like the stone by many drops of wickedness, thus did I sit among them, and still said to myself, innocent is everything petty of its pettiness. Especially did I find those who call themselves the good the most poisonous flies. They sting in all innocence. They lie in all innocence. How could they be just towards me? He who lives among the good, pity teaches him to lie. Pity makes stifling air for all free souls, for the stupidity of the good is unfathomable. To conceal myself and my riches, that did I learn down there. For everyone did I still find poor in spirit. It was a lie of my pity that I knew in everyone, that I saw and scented in everyone what was enough of spirit for him and what was too much. They're stiff, wise men. I call them wise, not stiff. Thus did I learn to slur over words. The gravediggers dig for themselves diseases. Under old rubbish rest bad vapors. One should not stir up the marsh. One should live on mountains. With blessed nostrils do I again breathe mountain freedom. Freed at last is my nose from the smell of all human hubbub. With sharp breezes tickled, as with sparkling wine, sneezes my soul. Sneezes and shouts self-congratulatingly, health to you. Thus spoke Zarathustra.